This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest by way of telephone, Jerry Basinger. I'm speaking to him at his home in Holt Summit, Missouri. And Jerry had 1 month to live. That's what the doctor said. He had liver cancer. No hope. He grabbed hold of God's word. And 10 years later, he's going strong. But he began moving in words of knowledge, knowing specific things about people. And on yesterday's broadcast, he was praying, and we went off the air, and he said, Sid, I see a rabbi. Would you explain what you saw, Jerry?
I was worshiping God while you were talking, and I saw a rabbi. I believe the Lord's telling me he's in Pennsylvania. He has cancer. He loves the Lord with all his heart, but he is suffering with cancer, and he's going to die soon if God doesn't do something. And he's been praying to be healed, and I want to tell this rabbi, brother, if you will believe the promise of God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Messiah heals you now in Jesus Christ's name. Just receive it now, because the Lord wants you to become intimate with him in ways that you have never been before. You have always read him in the words of God, but he wants to know you intimately. And he is healing you now that you may know that he's just not a story in the book. Rabbi, I know your name. It's Carl Froehler. I heard it from the Lord.
And by faith,
I'll receive it now.
And by faith, after you are healed, Rabbi, I want you to contact me, and we want to put you right on the radio and start being a real rabbi, a real teacher, because the only way you can be a real rabbi, the only way you can be a real teacher is to have intimacy with God, and the only way to have intimacy with God is to accept the Messiah. You know, Jerry, I was explaining that a friend of mine wrote an amazing book. It's called Full Circle. He lives in Tiberias, Israel. His name is Robert Fisher, and he has studied the Dead Sea Scrolls, which reveal a group of people called the Essenes. We don't know much about them until we read the writings of Josephus, until we read the writings of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they talk about what the godly Jews at the time of Jesus' first coming really believed. These Essenes, it's the most amazing thing, believed in the triune nature of God. These Essenes believed that the Messiah would lay hands on the sick and people would be healed. These Essenes believed the scriptures. These Essenes believed that whoever the Messiah was, that he would be deity, or as Isaiah said, he'd be called Emmanuel, God is with us. And you see, today, rabbis and Orthodox Jews believe what the Pharisees believed of 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed, that when Messiah comes, there will be peace on earth. And there isn't peace on earth, so the Messiah hasn't come. But the Pharisees, they believed in another book that complicated their thinking called the Talmud. The Essenes only believed in the scriptures, and so it was clear Jesus was the Messiah. We're making this book available. It's so important for you to understand. I call it a missing link. When you read this book, you'll understand. You know, there's controversy even today as to who is Israel. When you read this book, you'll get that straight. We're asking for a donation of $20 or more. Call or write today for the book, Full Circle. I have on the telephone right now Vince Callahan from Douglas, Georgia. Vince, most amazing thing happened. My last guest had a word of knowledge. He knew the name of a rabbi. This is a traditional rabbi that was listening to my broadcast, and he knew what was wrong with him physically, and he knew he was going to be healed. Now, that's really supernatural ministry, but I've been so looking forward to interviewing you, Vince, because you have a degree in counseling from, what was that, Regent University?
University, yes.
Graduate school there, and you were a professional counselor for many years.
Yes.
And then you went to a meeting in Tampa, Florida. What happened there? You got tampered with in Tampa.
Yes, I did. I went to a revival service and had heard about revival meetings breaking out where people were laying on the floor or people were laughing or acting strange. And even though I had been raised in Pentecostal circles, I thought, well, that's a little hokey and I don't really want anything to do with that. And so the first night I went to this revival meeting, I sat there with my arms crossed and kind of had the attitude, God, impress me if you can, which is something you never should do with God because he can always impress you. And that night I went home and prayed a real simple prayer that was, nobody heard me but God. I was in the car by myself. I didn't tell anybody I prayed that prayer. And the second night, when I went back, sat on the second row, and halfway through the service, the evangelist stopped his sermon, and he walked over, and he said, who are you? And I don't know if you're like me, but when someone does that, my eyes get real big, and you get real scared because you're thinking all the sin that you've done, he's going to publicly say to everybody whatever's going to happen. But he said, who are you? And I told him my name, and he said, I've got something to tell you. Do you mind? And I still didn't get it. I said, sure, go ahead, give it your best shot, because I've heard prophetic words and all that kind of good stuff before. And he told me word for word what I had prayed in the car that night before that nobody heard. He quoted my prayer. And he said, now that I've got your attention, God is getting ready to release you into the ministry that he called you into even when you were in your mother's womb.
Well, I remember in my notes it says when you were 7 years old, you literally heard the audible voice of God. What did he say to you?
One simple word, preach. I accepted Christ when I was 7 at a church youth camp, went down front to do that, and I heard someone behind me say, preach. It was a very strong, deep voice. I turned and looked, and nobody was there. I turned back facing the front. It happened 3 times, and there was nobody behind me. And I went home and told my mom, I'm supposed to be a preacher. I heard this voice behind me say, preach. And she just smiled at me and said, I know.
But when you were 13, now in Judaism, that's when you're bar mitzvah, but you had an amazing bar mitzvah when you were 13. You were filled with the Holy Spirit, and is it true you could not speak in English for 3 days?
Yes, I couldn't. I don't know that that's the norm, but...
No, that's not.
I went down, the evangelist said those who wanted to receive this gift from the Lord could have it, and... it was a very simple procedure. I went down there and said, God, I want what you have for me. And it's like somebody just kind of reached in and cleaned out my insides and swept everything clean. I guess we call that sanctification. And then this language came. And when I went home, my mother asked me what happened that night at church, and I answered her in tongues. And for 3 days, if you asked me a question in English, I would answer you in this foreign language. I couldn't stop. I tried. And she had to keep me home from school for 3 days because, you know, everybody would have thought I would have been a babbling idiot at school. But so I stayed home from school for 3 days, and then I got English back. But, yeah, that happened to me.
Well, now let's take you to 1994. You're in this church in Tampa. You're really, from what I understand, you are pushing for more intimacy with God. And tell me what happened to you.
This man, he quotes my prayer, and I fall down on the floor. The power of God overwhelmed me. I could not stand up, and I was on the floor 2 to 3 hours. The one thing that happened that night was I heard some of the most beautiful music I'd ever heard in my life. I asked them later at the church, what CD were you playing? And they said, oh, we stopped the music over an hour ago. So it was the most beautiful music I'd ever heard. And that revival went on for another 10 more weeks. I went several times a week to the meetings. The one thing I guess that was so important happened at week 14. We were standing at the end of a service. I had my eyes closed. I was worshiping the Lord, and I saw a picture, I guess, in my mind of me standing in front of people preaching or ministering. And inside, I'm thinking, Lord, I can't do this. I'm a professional. How can I do this? I've got an office. I've got staff. How can I do this?
And the evangelist was in front of me, and he said, Lord, make a way where he can't see there's a way. And at that moment, I felt like someone took a 55-gallon drum of hot oil and poured it on my head. I've never felt anything like it in my life.
But what's happened in reference to oil since that time?
Since that time, I was in a meeting in Hendersonville, Tennessee, several years ago. And during worship, my hands began to get real sticky for some reason. I couldn't figure out why. And as the service progressed, I looked down and there was oil or something. Well, I thought it was. I found out later. But my hands actually started dripping oil. Even for a Pentecostal boy, that'll scare you. And I thought, what in the world is this all about? And went to that meeting several times on the floor. I spent a lot of time on the floor. And on the floor one night, I heard the Lord tell me, I've given you fire and oil in your hands to reach into the emotional wounds of people and to heal them.
Now, when he said he's given you fire in your hands, do you feel your hands get hot?
I don't feel it as much, but people tell me when I pray for them that my hands get extremely hot, almost like a laser beam. I don't know why. I've even gotten within a few inches of people before I even touch them, and they've fallen down, or they'll tell me that my hands were so hot that they thought there was a light bulb in front of their face. But the stronger, the longer the meetings go and the more that the presence of God begins to come into a place, my hands get very oily and very sticky. I've actually seen the oil multiply from one drop to my hands almost dripping again. And then when I pray for people, my hands get very hot, especially my left hand, which is the hand I use to pray for people mostly.
Let me take you real quick to the meetings you were telling me about in Nigeria. You had a word of knowledge in reference to, and this is a hard one, women that have been raped. Explain.
Yeah. I administered, I was in a part of a major crusade in Nigeria in May, and I ministered in the evening session a salvation message. But on Thursday morning, we were ministering to pastors and their wives, and there were about 1,200 in attendance to that meeting. And before I began to minister, the Lord said, there are women here that have been raped, and I want you to pray for them. And so as I began to speak, I said, there are women here. The Lord has already shown me who you are. I can literally come find you if I need to. So I want you to obey the Lord because he has given me the vision of who is here and needs this. But you've been raped or sexually abused. You've carried this your whole life. Even in the ministry, you deal with this issue. And the Lord wants to heal you. And so I had them to stand, and I told them this was a big deal because admitting this publicly is huge. I mean, that's taking a major risk. And so they stood up, and the first thing I did was said, I'm sorry. You know, I'm a man, and I'm saying to you as a woman, I'm sorry that you've gotten hurt. And honestly, that's one of the things that so many people who've been wounded, they just need someone to say they're sorry. And as I said that, I asked them to close their eyes. And
Vince, I'm sorry. Hold that thought. We're out of time. Mishbucha, I know you'll be back tomorrow. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishbucha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.